How would it feel if the air itself picked you up by the scruff of your neck and shook you bloody, like a dog with its teeth in the throat of a rat? Sergeant Colin Brady wasn't usually a man given to introspection, to think with that kind of depth. His line of work didn't offer much leeway for that sort of thing. Most days, Colin was nothing but business, busy being boss of his small piece of British turf in a foreign land, in this case the security checkpoint on the road to an RAF base on the coast of Cyprus. But the chaos unfolding around him had knocked something loose in his normally well-disciplined head. It made his mind go wandering as his pulse thudded wildly and sound shock rang in his ears. He had been gathered up by an invisible giant and thrown aside as easily as he tossed the end of a spent cigarette into a bin. He had no memory of the transition, just the bone-shaking impact of nothing, and then he was lying flat on the ground, his bare hands and his face pressed into a layer of grit and brick fragments, with pain coursing up and down his body. He had no idea how he got there, a good 6 meters away from where he had been standing. One moment, he was outside the gatehouse, stepping after Lance Corporal Gray as the other man called out to him. "Something's up, boss," Gray said. There was a car, he remembered. A run-down little Fiat, the image of the grubby orange vehicle coming back to him. "But it didn't slow down. They're supposed to stop." Colin tried to stand, and the pain punished him severely for his audacity. The front of his duty uniform was lacerated from top to bottom. The camouflage pattern of his MTPs scarred with dozens of shallow cuts that were steadily oozing blood. Splinters of metal and glass were lodged in his chest, his neck, his face. He looked as if he'd picked a fight with a threshing machine and come off the worse. He sat up slowly, his head swimming, and gave a racking cough that brought up thick black spittle. A settling cloud of dust and smoke surrounded him, a roiling, stinking haze that reeked of petrol and some kind of acrid chemical. The smell collected in the back of his throat and he swallowed a retch. Reaching up, Colin rubbed a hand over his cheek, and it came away sticky and red. His regulation short brown hair was matted, and he belatedly realised he'd lost his regiment beret. "And my weapon too." He peered around, blinking, but couldn't find his rifle. "I had it on my shoulder," he told himself, his thoughts slow and ponderous, "when Gray called out." No cover and no gun. He would be deep in the shit when his commanding officer heard about that. Colin looked toward the gatehouse and the drop-down barrier across the base entrance, but neither of them were there anymore. The barricades had been replaced with a mess of broken metal and concrete, and the gatehouse was a slumping heap of rubble. There was no sign of Lance Corporal Gray or the other two men who had been on guard duty that morning. He tried to call out, but his voice didn't work properly. The sound of it weird in his ears. The smack of compacted air that had hit him had done something nasty to his senses, but some of his hearing was coming back. Below the ringing in his ears, he heard the sizzle of superheated metal as it cooled, the crackle of flames, and sirens too, warbling on the wind. It was hard for him to get his thoughts in a line. They slipped away from him, coming in and out of focus. With effort, Colin finally rose to a standing position, hissing at the jagged pokes of agony down his front. His sense of balance was all over the place, and when he tried to walk forward, he listed like a drunkard. He stepped slowly, one foot in front of the other. Where the road out of the nearby town met the route into the RAF base, there was now a shallow crater of hot, blackened debris. Pieces of broken jersey barriers and bits of the orange Fiat littered the ground. The car. It didn't stop, he remembered. It raced straight into the barriers at full tilt. And that was when the mental replay in Colin's head abruptly ended. He'd blotted it out, hadn't he? Like how it happened to people in films. The explosion. He could only remember it by the evidence it left behind. The experience of being in it mercifully wiped from his memory. The lad Gray had been right there, yelling at the driver to stop. Where was he now? Was anything left of him? Colin cast around, straining to listen for anyone calling for help, but the rising, falling sound of the siren smothered everything.